Good morning, church. So we're from Teen Challenge. Many years ago, back in the 50s, I believe, there was a small AG pastor who used to watch TV every night for about 2 hours after his long days. And one night he felt prompted by the Lord to get rid of his TV, but it was, you know, it wasn't a loud voice, so he wasn't too sure. And he decides, well, God, if this is really from you, I'll put my TV on sale. You know, back then it was newspaper or whatever. And he gave it one day or something like that to be sold. And that would be his sign that he actually heard from God to get rid of his TV. Sure enough, on the last minute, literally the last minute of the time he gave God, somebody called and paid full price for a TV, which was, that alone was supposed to be pretty amazing. And from that point on, he spent those 2 hours that he normally spent watching TV, he spent it in prayer. And he's sitting there in his study, and one night he's tempted to pick up a magazine, a Time magazine. And mind you, he's not trying to be distracted during that time, because that's the time allotted to the Lord. And he's kept feeling prompted to pick up that Time magazine. And finally, he just reached over there and grabbed it, and he flipped it open to a page, and there were 7 young kids, little gang members, on trial for murder, and there were juveniles for a thrill murder on top of that, and it moved his heart. And he believed that God told him to go help these kids in New York City. So he heads out to New York City, never, ever, ever, ever gets to talk to those 7 kids, but in the process, he starts evangelizing gang members from those, you know, those kids' friends and families. In the process of evangelizing these kids, a lot of them came to the Lord, thank God. But he went back to his little small Pennsylvania, small AG town. And he went back to New York a year later. And he found that his favorite, which was his name was Israel, his favorite was in prison. And he asked his mom what happened. And his mom said, my son Israel was doing so good after he met you, but the gang, because, you know, he went back to his neighborhood, forced him to be back with them. And they killed somebody, and he was there, so they all got murder charges. Anyways, from there, Teen Challenge was birthed. What can I do? What could have I done different? And a lot of us, I was one of them, we get evangelized, we come to the Lord, and we don't know what to do next. Like, what do I do next? If I go home, there's drugs there, there's gangs there, there's whatever there. Like, what do I do next? And Teen Challenge was born. And since then, many people have been helped. Today, it's more based on recovery more than anything else, because it went from gangs to, as you guys know, the drug epidemic. They say that 1 in every 7 Americans is directly affected by drugs. In other words, your grandson is using, your son is using, your husband's using, you're using. Somebody, more than likely someone in your family, is using and affecting you. And that's what Teen Challenge is here to do. You know, when guys are ready to change, we're here to serve them. We are considered a local missions here in Assemblies of God. I remember when I came to Teen Challenge, I was ready to serve God wholeheartedly. I honestly thought I was going to end up in some foreign country where it was dangerous to love the Lord. And I remember a missionary director, he told me, there's so much to do here. We're so blind. I was so blind to the need here, the need in your own backyard. And even though it was right in front of me, you know. Since then, I have had the privilege of also having my son in the program and seeing Teen Challenge through those eyes. It moved my heart with your son right here, but that's many other people's sons. You know how many people are ODing every single day? People are just dropping dead every single day. And here's a few that made it out. Not that many make it out, man. That's the truth of it, you know. A lot of people don't make it out. And with that, I want to start with one testimony, my brother Brady right here.
Hi, guys. How you guys doing today? Good. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'll just start off just by, Tony, thank you for having us here today. Appreciate it very much. It's truly a blessing to be up here, like Javier was saying. Not many of us make it out, friends, family, cousins, family members. So we do appreciate that. I'm 34 years old from Tacoma, Washington. Grew up in a nice, fun, loving Christian family, actually in Olympia, Washington. Went to high school, got a scholarship to play baseball at Fresno State. Played 2 years of baseball there. My sophomore year, I tore my rotator cuff. Ended up having arthroscopic surgery on my shoulder. It was then I got hooked on prescription painkillers. Started off being 18 years old without family in California playing baseball, no responsibilities. Drugs ran out. I lost the love of baseball, lost the love of school and just trying to grow. It's then that I met my wife in 2010. We ended up getting married in 2013, but throughout that time, the prescription painkillers turned into heroin and methamphetamines. After that, we just spent a life of doing crime, living on the streets. We were all homeless. She ended up getting locked up. And that's when I just went off the deep end. I tried killing myself this last June 22nd, actually. I was staying in contact with her family, but not so much. It was mainly just my family. It's then that I decided to come to Teen Challenge. I thought I was going to the Renton one. My parents didn't think that was a good opportunity just because of I would find ways to just ride the bus home or walk from Renton to Tacoma, either one. But I don't want to stay on the topic of my drug use. I kind of want to just lean towards when I first arrived in October, I was thinking every way possible on how I'm going to get the heck out of here. I definitely didn't want to be here. I saw other people, these men themselves. I looked at them, I'm like, I'm not that, you know. I'm fine, you know. And that's the attitude I had. And it was piss poor at best. And that slowly began to change. The restoration in my family started to come about slowly but surely. It took like 2 months for me to figure it out, like, this is a spot I need to be. And then responsibilities slowly started coming my way, and it just made it easier to be there each day. And the relationship with Christ kept growing and growing and growing. And that was just one of the many blessings I've had in the 6 months I've been there so far. There's still stuff that needs to be worked on in my life. Restoration with my wife, I haven't spoke to her since I've been here. Part of it's by choice and part of it's not. But I think one of the biggest things for me today is, yes, there's plenty of work left in my life, whether it's with God, with my family, with my wife, with other people. But just seeing other guys who come into the program and seeing where their life's at in the growth that they have each day and each day. And I'm not saying that I'm not just focusing not on not on myself, but other people. But seeing the continued growth in other people is also a big step for my recovery. Because just seeing the joy on people's faces throughout the days and throughout the hard times, because it's not easy where we're at, but it's worth it. I know people say that this is a program, but I don't look at it as a program, a Teen Challenge. I look at it as an opportunity, and that opportunity is to grow in Christ. It's to grow with your brothers, have solid friends. And I know that that doesn't just come with friends or family. It comes with the support of the community and being able to do stuff like this, because I know, at least from my perspective and from my growth, it hasn't just happened with the guys here in this program. It's happened with people that I've met out in the community, people that I've never even seen before, and just these small conversations that can just change a person's life. And that's what it's slowly doing for me. I got ton of growth still left to do, and I'm excited about it. I absolutely despise the Oregon Ducks, but they have this mentality that their football team uses. It's called win the day. And I try and remind myself of that each day that I wake up. I read my little notebook, and at the bottom of it says a win the day. And that's what I'm trying to do, and that's what we're here to do. I just thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to let you know about that. And just thank you for what you guys do for us. And without you in the sword of the community and others and churches, this opportunity that we have for 365 days wouldn't be there. So I thank you for that.
Hi, how are you guys doing today? I'm Angel Loretto. I'm 19. I'm from Moses Lake, Washington. Bear with me. This is my first testimony I've ever given. So, I grew up. My mom was a drug abuser. My father wasn't there till I was 8 years old, and then I finally had met my father. I started out doing great in school from elementary all the way to middle school till I started thinking that joking around and messing around was the way to be and trying to stand out, trying to be cool to people. And then that just led to drug use, and then drug use led to bad decisions, to losing my family and everything that I love. I have a 2-year-old daughter. Her name's Nazaria or Nasaria. Either one works. This program is great, and I thank you guys for allowing me to share my testimony, because the things that's happened to me here, it's so amazing. Restoration came physically, mentally. I'm allowed to see my family without any shame or any guilt. I'm able to walk around knowing that I'm doing what's right for the first time, and I have nothing to hide. I love all my brothers here. These are great men. You know, they're fighting the good fight, you know, instead of fighting the fight that was leading to death or to the grave, you know. I encourage everybody to read the Word. Reading the Word is what saved me. I mean, I could hear as much sermons as I want, but unless I really dig deep and read the Word and learn something from my own point of view and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me through the Word, I'm not learning anything. So and the reason why I praise God is because I've changed a lot. I used to be a really bad person, and I truly say it's an awful person to everybody. I was selfish. I only cared about myself and my needs. I wasn't even paying attention to the fact that I had a daughter. But now that I'm here, I've learned compassion, humility, how to serve others before I serve myself, how to be kind, how to be honest, how to have a great work ethic, knowing that my prize is in heaven. And I'm living here for the work of Christ, so people could see Christ in me. And this has been my goal lately. I'm far from perfect. And I do make a lot of mistakes, but I know that I'm forgiven, which is one of the best parts of me being a Christian. I may fall, but I get back up. And like Brady was saying, for the community, I appreciate you guys allowing us to come here and share our testimonies and all the help. We have a lot of people that donate deodorant, body wash, toilet paper, and just house utensils and things that we need. And yeah, I love God. And I'll continue to serve God. So thank you.
And really, we know when I first came to the program, that's where I was at. Super selfish, extremely selfish, very, very selfish. And I couldn't behave for nothing, man. All my life, I couldn't behave for nothing. And since the day I ended up in Teen Challenge was, I believe God called me, and I had no idea what to do. No idea where to go or what to do. Every person I knew was involved in bad stuff. And I knew that serving God meant stay away from them. And so it left me at zero. And it was a pretty scary place to be. And I walked into Gather for Him Christian College. And I told them, you guys are Christians, right? And they're like, yep. And I go, well, I used to traffic drugs, and I need to change my life right now. And they didn't know what to do. And they tried to help me. And in the process of that, I remembered Teen Challenge. When I was 14 years old, Teen Challenge brought a couple guys to give their testimony to my juvenile hall. And one of the things that stuck with me was restoration, the restoration that happened in their lives. And I believed them, just like you heard these men. And at that time, my heart got soft because I turned it to God, and I needed restoration with all the people I had hurt. And more than anything else, I needed help behaving. I needed help following rules. I needed help respecting people, respecting rules. I needed all kinds of help. And truthfully, I don't think there was one person that would have believed me and let me and helped me. That's what Teen Challenge is. Ultimately, man, that's what we're about. You know, you got your son. He done stole from you, did everything bad to you. You don't believe him. You don't believe him. And you can't let him in your house again because you can't afford to. That's just an example, right? That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. That's the ministry God has given to us. And that's we're good at it because he's anointed us for it, you know? Anyways, I want to invite you guys. Also, we have a banquet coming up March 13th. We're easy to find on Google or Facebook. There's information there. Also, one of the main things, I recently transferred over this Wednesday from Seattle. I recently transferred over to be the outreach coordinator here. And we're about to make a big impact in our community. I will tell you that. That's not a joke. We're not just talking. We're about to make a big impact in our community. And I would like to invite anyone and everyone to serve. If you have a heart to serve and you can't find your platform, I'm telling you, man, get in touch with us. We will do things. There's things to do. There's a lot of work to do in this community. This community is so drug infested. So drug infested. I know because I used to infest it. So this place needs Jesus. There's a lot of people. And I know that some of you probably do have a relative or someone and that's, you know, struggling with drug abuse. And one of the things that God put in my heart is, I have a son. I have a son that needs to be in that chair right there. And in Matthew, after Jesus sends out 12, right? The very next chapter, which I'm not good with the addresses. I think it's Matthew 10. I'm not good with the addresses. But the very next chapter, after he sends out the 12, the very next chapter starts off, and then he went to their cities. And when somebody preached that to me, it touched my heart. I go where Jesus, I'd rather Jesus go to my house than me. And if I go where he sends me, away from my needs, away from, in this case, my son who needs Jesus, if I go where he sends me, I'm going to take that word for what it is. It says, then he went to their cities. That's powerful. You know, a lot of us, that's pretty, especially when you have that need, when you have, you want to help and you think you can help, right? It makes sense. 2 + 2 = 4. I can go do it. Ever since I've been wherever the Lord wants me to be, my daughter, was a very, very, very strung out for 3 years, left my grandson with her mom. I mean, just horrible, horrible, horrible. And, I remember, that I wanted to go. My plans changed from full-time ministry to, well, I better get a job. I better get this because I need to help my daughter. And the Lord rebuked me kindly, you know, for it. He told me he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy, right? And I realigned my plans back with the Lord. Since then, my daughter has been delivered. She's a great mother. She has a job. She goes to college. She pays bills. I mean, everything that I wanted to do, the Lord did for me. Sure, she sometimes wishes I was closer to her because my family's in California. I am not from around here. I'm specifically here to serve the Lord. And it hurts sometimes, but like I tell her, I go, would you rather visit me in prison for the rest of my life or every now and then see me out here? Because that's the truth of the matter, you know? Me, I break out in handcuffs. Some people end up homeless. Some people end up whatever on drugs. I end up in prison real fast. Very, very fast, man. So anyways, yes, I would like to invite you guys. Please, if you guys, we're doing something very different. We're Teen Challenge nationally from their overemphasizing evangelism again and outreach. Which for some reason has kind of like dwindled or something. I don't know what word you want to use, you know, but it kind of died out. And that was what That's how we started. That's how Teen Challenge started. And we are definitely about to make an impact in our community nonstop. And we got a little army right here ready to go, right? Yeah. Huh? So why not use it? Why not use people that are on fire, people that are ready to serve God because they're grateful for what the Lord has done in our lives, you know? Once again, you can find us on Facebook. Our information, your pastor has for sure. We will definitely give you a platform to serve God. Yeah, it doesn't matter how old you are, how whatever. It doesn't matter, man. There's things to do. Our community needs us. It really does. And I don't know what happened, to be honest with you, but we need to stir up the fire within each other, right? That's what the word says, right? To stir each other up to good works. And that's what we're here for. We're here to do it. We're not gonna sit around anymore and watch the devil take away our kids, our family, right, through drugs. Drugs have gotten decentes. How do you say that word? Decentes, whatever. It's become normal. People, they just, well, there's no help. Yeah, there is. And that's Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ is the cure. Ask these guys. Ask these men right here. Yes. Yes. He delivers us. He heals us. He transforms us. I mean, all those beautiful, beautiful things. He ain't stopped doing it. He hasn't stopped doing it. I got living test. That's one of the most awesome things about being a Teen Challenge, you guys. I watch miracles happen every single day, over and over and over. They walk in, they sober up. No, you guys know how hard that is? For real, man, that's hard. And then next thing you know, the wife who didn't talk to him comes back. Now, who here doesn't need restoration when they've ruined it themselves? You know, and you come to Jesus asking him to restore it. He does the work, right? He softens the hearts, right? Man, it's so beautiful. It is just one of the most awesomest things. I've seen guys get prison sentences just. Psh. I remember a guy was going to court and he was just stressed out. The judge was being kind of mean to him the whole time. Could care less about Teen Challenge or what he was doing currently in his life. And then on sentencing date, the judge, a new judge, which wasn't involved in the whole case the whole time, says, I know David Wilkerson, and forgave him everything. It happens all the time around here. I love it. I love seeing Jesus work. I love seeing him working these men. You get the guy who shows up and you think is going to be the least likely to make it, right? And bam. Bam, that just like that, man, just like that. You guys have seen it. You guys have been one of them. And the Holy Spirit just transforms them. Hell, Michael. It's awesome. Just super awesome, man. And once again, that's it. Just once again, inviting you guys to come alongside us and serve. Our community needs us. It really does. I mean, personally, I'll just share my heart with you. I don't think God called me to just sit here on Sunday, you know? He didn't. I'm an army guy. I'm a militant guy. And, I'm going to serve my Lord wherever I go. So I invite you guys once again. Thank you, guys.
Amen. Some of you remember, I don't even know his last name. We just called him Big Jared. You guys remember Big Jared? He got hooked on meth at 12 years old, and when he came to church, this was probably 10 years ago, he came in, he was hiring a kite, right, and he's telling us how he loves Jesus, and I looked at him, and I said, "You're hiring a kite." And he looks at me and he goes, "You know what? You're right, but Jesus loves me." And I said, "You're right, Jesus loves you. But Jesus wants to see the real you, not the hyped up you." And over 2-3 years, him coming in and out of church and us helping him, You know what? Big Jared got set free. He got set free. Jesus set him free. Now he's somewhere in South Carolina. He got a good job, and you know, I said someday we'll meet again, whether that's here or it's in heaven, right? We're gonna see you again. He said, "Amen, Pastor." You know, even in my own family, right? And ministering to my own brothers. You know, my one brother was caught with a pallet full of cocaine in the back of a U-Haul truck. You understand what that's all about. That's a federal offense. My younger brother. You know, they were in their 20s, late 20s, and then all of a sudden, boom, right? Something changed. And I always thank God that I didn't go down that path. God has set me free. July 28th, 1978. That's a long time ago for some of you guys, right? But I see how the fire is inside of you, and I think we're in a time that we need to have some fire inside of us. That we need Jesus more than ever before, and that people need Jesus. I share with you over and over, you know, about little stories about our next door neighbor and how I get the opportunity to share Jesus. I was looking at in Matthew chapter 28. And I was sitting here looking at this week, and just popped into me, you know, how the Holy Spirit works, right? I want to tell you guys something. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me today as we were sitting here and you're giving your testimony, right? Do not be discouraged. Discouragement is the enemy's way to move us from what we could be to what he wants you to be. And you've already gone through that. You need to go through that again. Be encouraged. I love your word, Javier. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to help one another. We're here to let others know, to let the body of Christ know that we together are a force, right? That we can change the world. You see, all of us, all the world around us is telling us we can't do that anymore. But you know, that's just a lie of the enemy, right? That's a lie of the enemy. You see, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, then Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." You know what that is? It's a promise. Come on. It's a promise. It's a promise. It's a promise that God is going to be with us. All authority. All authority. You know what? We have the power to go out into this world and to proclaim the gospel. You see, we have missionaries, right? Here's the missionaries that we support. Michael and Cheryl Langford, pray for him. He's been getting tested. They ruled out leukemia, but his blood markers are like where Zachary's were when he first got. They're in the Philippines. He needs prayer. Chris and Heather Schneider from Argentina. What they remember when he was here? Yu-Yu or Juju or something? Juju or Juju. Bill and Sonia Shaw. John and Corey Taylor, they're in Indonesia. Beth and John Wilson, they oversee Royal Rangers International around the world. And Deanne Helland. You know how Deanne Helland reaches people for Jesus? This is just between us, right? She's a school teacher in I can't tell you the country, but it's an Asian country, because it's sensitive. See, these are people who understood the promise, right? That said, we are to go out. All authority has been given us to go out. You see, Teen Challenge is no different. They've been given all authority to go out, to reach young men. And in Graham is the women's center, Graham, Washington. You see, these guys, they're overcoming drugs and alcohol. You know what? We have a, they just built this last year a pot shop, right? Not too far from us here. 8 o'clock in the morning, there, even on a Sunday morning, that parking lot is full of people. And I know some of them are getting stuff because their body hurts, and that's the new pain pill, right? And I'm not saying that there are other alternatives. What I'm saying is we can be addicted, and it's still addiction no matter what form it looks like. God has called us to help those who are helpless, those who are powerless, right? Those who need help. And these guys help people. Help these guys. That's why they're here today. You sure can. Mm-hmm. Amen. One day at a time, right? That was a song, I think. Because I think that Jesus is really amping up to many pastors and church leaders. It's time. We have a window of opportunity. The world's going crazy with the, you know, they call it COVID-19 now, but it's the coronavirus, right? They're panicking. Zach and I went into Costco on Tuesday because we were just stopping to get something. I mean, I didn't even think about it. And there, people are, the place is packed. There's people standing in the back waiting for water bottles and toilet paper, and there isn't any. And all of a sudden, the water comes out, right? A truck had just shown up, and there's they're bringing pallets of water, and people are shoving each other to get a case of water. And I'm like, listen, our water supply is untinged. It's okay. You can put a glass under the faucet and drink water. And are you really going to need 45 cases of toilet paper? No. I'm not trying to make light of it because some of you go, oh, we have to be prepared. Yes, we have to be prepared. It is serious. Now listen. What an opportunity we have to share with our neighbors Jesus Christ through a crisis. Who do you trust in? You trust in Jesus. Who do you trust in? Oh, aren't you panicking? No. I have a case of toilet paper. I'm just fine. You see, Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Right? And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Right? You know what this breaks down to? Share, disciple, and teach. Share, disciple, and teach. That's what we're to do. All of you, all of us. This isn't my job. It's all of our jobs because we're all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you've been called. You've been given all authority and power. You see, today we're here because we want to take pledges, right? We want to take pledges for missions because we support these missionaries. And on occasion, we send an offering to Teen Challenge, and we help others. Like Friday, we went to Second Harvest, and we donated our time as we pulled smelly pears out of a big bin and put them into smaller boxes, and I'm praying over each one, and bless Gail's heart. They were playing the music. He went there and he said, I can't hardly, you know, my ears hurt when you play the music that loud. So then they put on Christian music. And we were singing hymns. They were hymns, right? And we're just singing hymns, and I'm praying over every pair that we're putting in a box, because you know what? They're going to feed somebody. They don't know that we're helping them, but we know that God's going to hopefully have somebody touch them. Right. See, this is what I'd like you to do. I would love for you to fill this out today. Matt, we get an offering basket. We're going to take an offering today for these guys. But what I'd love for you today is to fill out your name. I know some of you, you say, I'm going to give. Can you please just fill this out for me so we know who's giving this year and how much you're giving? Because how we give to missions, worldwide or U.S. missions, is that we will take what comes in every month and we split it up. So every missionary gets an equal piece of the pie. AG Missions wants us to say we're going to give X amount of dollars a month, but you know what? I think it's more fair. Like, if 1 month $1,000 comes in, they get more, and maybe 3 months from then it's a little less, but it all evens out. And so that's how we do things. So I want to challenge you to really prayerfully consider, and I know that if this leaves this building, you probably won't bring it back next Sunday. So I have more. Do me a favor, fill this out so we can see who's going to help this year in our missions giving, because it's vital, right? One of the missionaries, a U.S. missionary, Edna Braley, is no longer on the field, and we were kind of saddened by the fact that we got the end the monthly statement. It said account closed. So I called and I went, "Why is her account closed?" And she said, "I don't want to be rude, but, you know, she's up there in years, and either she stopped ministering or she's dead." And I went like, "Is way to tell me like it is, you know." But I'm praying that maybe this year we can find somebody we can replace her with, right? Because she's obviously off the mission field. And maybe Teen Challenge is it. Maybe it's somebody else. I don't know. And we want to bring a support and take that spot so we can continue to go out. Right here, our ministry is in this community. These people have been called to go out into the world. They're into wherever country they've been called. And we want to support them. No matter how small a church we are, you know what? We're called to help the called. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Will you stand this morning so we can close? No song, no nothing. Just prayer. And I'm going to ask if two or three of you will maybe pray for these guys as we close this morning, and then I'll close in prayer. And as you're leaving, Matt and Gail will be standing in the back with bags. Can you put an offering in there today as you go out so that we can bless them and thank them for coming to be a part of our church? Thank you. Who wants to pray? Thank you, Jesus.